Well, good evening. That is not going to work. Good evening. Thank you. I am super encouraged to be with you. It's been a while since I've been here. How long ago, Pastor? What was I here? What? Oh, there you go. 3 or 4 years ago? See, I'm getting better. It only took 4 years to forget about how bad it was the last time, so not bad. I'm getting better. How many remember last time I was here? Oh, boy. So most of you don't have a clue what you're in for, and that's okay. It's safe. Trust me. Just put your seatbelt on, and we'll be all right. We are going to go after truth tonight, because let's be honest. We live in a world that tells us what? There is no truth. You got your truth. I got my truth. We all got our own truth. We're going to debunk that claim. Now, before I jump into that, I want to make this announcement that I see a number of younger generation, sophomore, junior, senior high school. Juan, who was here before, Juan Valdez, I guess a couple years ago, Juan and I worked together. We teach a class at Faith Baptist Bible College. It's called Jumpstart Program, and it's a summer class. So we'll be teaching it on June 26 to 30. It's intensive, right? We're talking like 6-7 hours a day. $350 for 3 credits that are transferable, so you don't have to go to Faith, but you can get 3 college credits that will transfer. And we teach a class on creation apologetics and critical thinking. Thursday, the assignment, the students have to go down to the Omaha Zoo with us, and they have to do a presentation at the zoo in front of one of the animals with people walking around. Because we're not into the hiding thing, right? We need to be out in the culture, in the public, being real, right? And so we do that. I'd highly encourage you. $350, that's including the room and board, guys. They lose money on the food part for me alone, just food, okay? So it's definitely worth it. So tonight, though, let's jump into this because we want to deal with that claim that there is no truth. And how would we deal with it? John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So if you start with the scripture, there is truth. But, well, that's just your truth, Carl. How do we deal with that? Does it matter that there's truth or not? Interesting book. It's dated now, but I found it very interesting. It's called The Day America Told the Truth. According to the research done there, 91% of adults, 92%, 98% what? They lie regularly, they lie to save face, and they lie not to offend people. That's a lot of lying. Second point, with the middle and high schoolers, 92%, 73%, 91% do what? Lie to their parents each week, say they lie weekly, and are satisfied with their character. It's a lot of lying going on, man. So with all that lying, does it matter? I saw this show. Any of you ever see the show House? You know what I'm talking about? The atheist doctor, grumpy dude. Very thought-provoking on some of the episodes, but one... I haven't seen a lot of them, but I saw one clip that I had to share with you that really made me think. Take a look.
It's the basic truth of the human condition that everybody lies. The only variable is about what.
So, with all of this lying, does truth matter? I think that I can show to you that it does matter. I want you to use your imagination with me this evening and imagine that you're riding your bicycle home. I know you mature folk, you're like, what? Yes, imagine. We're riding the bicycle home and we get pulled over by a police officer. Police officer comes up, asks us to see our backpack. He looks in our backpack, he finds a baggie with white powdered substance. He says it's drugs. We say it's not drugs. He says it's drugs. We say it's not drugs. He tested. It tests positive for drugs. So we go to jail, and I'm talking the worst jail in Oklahoma. I mean, horrible jail. No money, can't get out. So we're in that jail for weeks. And finally, to get out of jail, we confess to being guilty to having drugs so that we can get sentenced to 15 years in the state penitentiary. They test the white powdered substance again. It's not drugs. That's a true story. Do you think that truth mattered to that individual? You better believe that it did. Otherwise, he was going to prison for 15 years. Truth matters. We know it. But we live in a world that wants to gloss over and say, well, you can have your truth and I got my truth and we can all get along. No, we can't. And we need to address it. Now, the Bible verse that really, to me, drives home the fact that there is truth is John 18:36-38. But I'm not going to read that to you because I'm going, mature generation, show me some grace. I'm going after the younger generation. And one thing that we need to understand is that the younger generation thinks different. I don't care if we like it or not, they think different. If you think I can get up, we're going to do 24 camps in 10 weeks this summer, okay? We're going after younger generation. And if you think that I'm going to get up at a camp and today we're going to address the finer, forget about it, they're gone, right? So you have to come after them. They have a 2.2 second attention span. Hello? Did you hear me? 2.2 second attention span. You're not doing the hello today. No, they're gone, right? And by the way, that's supposedly less than a goldfish. A goldfish supposedly has a 3 second attention span. I'm sorry. What scientist in their right mind did that research? And how'd they do it? Did they get funding? Did our tax dollars pay for that? And oh, here we go, stopwatch, goldfish. Ooh. What's a goldfish gonna pay attention to? Bubbles? I mean. So, we have to go after this generation. Did I say we need to compromise? Did I say we need to water down? No. We need to speak the truth, but we need to do it in a way that will get them to think. So, our approach is to do something called debunked. We've been doing these for like 12 years now. How many have seen a debunked video? Oh, good. That's almost a third of you. That's encouraging. So tonight, instead of me reading John to you, I'm going to let us use it in our debunked. And mature generation, again, show me some grace. It's geared for that younger generation. It's going to be fast. Put your seatbelt on. It'll be okay. Here we go.
A telling thing happened a while back when Jesus was standing in front of Pontius Pilate. It's right here in the Bible, John 18:36. Jesus says to him, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Now, Pilate says this. Wait for it. He says, "What is truth?" Shabam! There it is. The big kahuna, the spicy enchilada, the fizzy lifting drink, the question of the ages. And it's not much different today, which is why you hear claims like, "It's true for you, but not for me," or "There is no truth," or "Truth is relative, bro," or the ever so popular "Speak your truth." Now, these things all sound nice and sweetie sweet, but what in the world do they mean? Well, let's take "It's true for you, but not for me." Now, in all honesty, doesn't the person who says this to you want you to believe what he's saying? He's assuming that his relativistic claim is universally true, right? Everything is relative, I guess, except his relativism. Now, if something can only be true for me, which it can't, then it doesn't apply to you or anyone else, so what's the point in saying it? But if it is true for everyone, then the claim is wrong, because it's only claiming to be true for me and not for you. Get it? Okay, maybe it's not clear right this second, but things that contradict themselves, like this claim, cannot be true. What about the claim there is no truth? Oh, yet another statement that demolishes itself by its own standard. After all, is that claim true? If so, it's wrong. If the claim is not true, then it's true that the statement there is no truth is not true, which means there is truth, which makes the claim false. Moving on to the popular "speak your truth." I gotta ask you in all seriousness, is there really your truth and my truth? Truth is what is. It corresponds to reality. It's black and white, either or, fact kind of stuff, right? Tiny Tammy tossed the toy pterodactyl tenderly into the Thames that Tuesday, or she didn't. It's pretty simple, really. Truth is truth, and it doesn't change with a pronoun. Now, you might disagree and throw your hands up in objection, that is, until, of course, you are on the receiving end of a lie. I'm sorry, somebody else's truth that contradicts reality. Let's say you deposited $100 into the bank yesterday, but the banker's truth is that you didn't. Your sweet hundo, gone.
Oh, no.
Let's say you got every answer on every test right, but the teacher's truth is that you flunked the whole grade. Now, you have to repeat it. Your summer, gone. See, I think you get it. And I think you'd be fighting pretty hard for the truth, you know, the thing that corresponds to reality in those specific scenarios, because lies, I'm sorry, other people's truths that aren't true, have huge consequences. Relativism is not only flawed, it's unlivable and unsustainable. And let's be honest, nobody wants a relative answer when they ask a real question, especially if it's directions to a gas station when you have to go to the bathroom. But wait a second, what if I say, My favorite candy is M&M's, and you say your favorite candy is Snickers. See, what's true for me is not true for you in that sense, right? Well, actually, wrong. See, I'm saying it's true that my favorite candy is M&M's, and you are saying it's true that your favorite candy is Snickers. We're simply stating the truth about our preferences. Now, you gotta watch out for preferences, beliefs, and opinions trying to sneak their way into Truth's exclusive club. After all, you can prefer that you have a blue hat when you only have a white one, but it doesn't change the facts. You can believe the moon is made out of cheese, but it doesn't make it true. And it might be your opinion that 5 plus 5 is actually 13, but you'd be wrong. See, tricky word games don't change the truth. They get you nowhere. As Double Dubs would say, you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. But what about morality? Ah, that's the big one. One person thinks it's wrong to commit adultery, and another thinks it's not. So the one might say, I'm glad you have your truth, baby, but it doesn't work for me. First of all, what you think about the truth doesn't change it. A thing is either true or not, even moral duties and obligations. Second, truth is not dependent on the subject, that is, you or me. It's objective. So whether it works for us or not doesn't change what's actually true. Third, since these two claims are in direct opposition to one another, only one can be true. This is the irrefutable, unstoppable, unbreakable, incontrovertible law of non-contradiction smashing through the nonsensical, irrational, and weak wall of hocus-pocus relativism. And, curiously, here we are today right where Pilate was, having to deal with the one who calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, claiming that no one gets to the Father, that is God, except through him. That's either true or it's not. And we can either deal with it head on, or we can, like Pilate and like Romans declares, suppress the truth and unrighteousness, which leads us to make claims like, what's true for you is not for me. Truth is relative. There is no truth, etc., etc., all of which heretofore have been debunked. Adios.
I wish you could see some of the faces that I see when I show these things, because there's some that are like vapor locked. Yeah, I know. Way too much information, way too quick, right? Intentionally so. Because again, I want this generation, they have a stereotype of Christians, bunch of closed-minded, intolerant, boring. Hold up, we're going to blow that out of the water. Let me ask you a question, though. Was it done well enough that you would watch it again to try to glean a little more information? Even though it's got a lot in there, I'd watch it again to get some more information. Anybody? Well, that's not bad. That's a pretty good response. Was it done well enough that you're having a conversation with somebody and they make the statement, well, you got your truth, that's your truth, and I got my truth. And you'd say, hey, I got a short video. Can I show it to you? And we talk about it. You tell me what you think, and you'd be willing to show it. Anybody? That's a pretty good response. If I give it to you for free, would you take it? Anybody? Well, that's a lame response. Typically free is like, yeah, typically like, yeah, we're in. All right, if you'll take it for free, here's what you're going to do. First of all, I'm going to show you how you get the new ones when we release them before I release them to the general public. Anybody have a smartphone? Anybody? Anybody? Some of you are lying right now, because I'm telling you. Because two hands and a foot should be going up on some of you guys. I know that, all right? So here we go. Take your smartphone out. You're going to send a message. On a real phone, this is what it looks like. You hit that green message tab, and it takes you to this thing with the pencil and the paper. You hit that pencil paper thing, and then it takes you to where you're sending a message. Yes, technology is wonderful. The recipient to this message is simply the numbers 51555. So you're going to send a message to 51555. And then in the message, all it says is, adios, and please spell adios correctly. There is no U in adios. It's A-D-I-O-S. Space, and don't write space. Space bar. Adios, space, Carl. Okay? You can misspell Carl. And then when you send that message, you're going to get an immediate response back that has a link that you go fill out a form. That form, when you fill it out and submit it, vitally important, once that's submitted, you become a debunked defender, and then I have the information to send you the new debunks before I release them to the general public, and it's absolutely free, guys. There's no work. There's no like, okay, now you got to give me 99 cents. No, there's none of that. It's free, all right? Well, it's not totally free. Here's the cost. I'm asking you, if I'm going to give these things to you, that you watch them, you share them, okay? And you pray for us so that we can keep making them and giving them away, okay? Is that a fair deal? There you go. Now, those of you that want to get the existing ones, it's very simple. As you've got your smart device out, go to your app store and you type in five letters, R, F-O-R-H. Stands for Reasons for Hope. You can type in Reasons for Hope if you want, but that's a whole lot more letters. R, F-O-R-H. And when you do that, you'll have a list of links that pop up, and you'll see the blue asterisk with the blue black background, and it'll typically be the very first one. You hit that, you download it, it's absolutely free of charge. Almost everything that we produce now is going up there free of charge. Videos, all debunked videos, hours of content, seriously. I don't even carry DVDs anymore. Every DVD that we've ever produced is being put up there free of charge. All right? So take advantage of that. They're there for you. Now, we did, I'll tell you this. I've got three things that I brought with me. My stuff is all suggested donations, so I won't take the money for all the other stuff that they've got back there. I've got, my table's easy. I got that big old brown ugly box, right? If you see what I got, you want it, they're suggested donations, just throw the money in the box. Take it. You might be in a position where you can't afford something, take it. If you will use it, take it. I mean that genuinely, sincerely. All right? Remember us in the future. If things turn around for you, then help us to produce more stuff. But we've got a book back there called Did Jesus Commit Suicide? Which is nothing more than when I work camps, on day one, I hand out index cards and I tell the kids, write down the questions that are keeping you from selling out for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're dealing with the rest of this week in camp. And these are all the questions that the kids ask. These aren't the questions that I got asked 10 years ago, guys. This generation thinks different. Questions that when I used to go on radio programs, I could tell you what the first three questions were going to be. Not anymore. They've changed. And so now, I just started collecting those questions. We've put them into the first book. Number two is coming out here pretty soon, and that's there. Fascinating Facts is for, to me, parents that, how many like to go to the zoo? Anybody like to go to the zoo? I think zoos are one of the greatest ministries on this planet. Right? We walk in, our tax dollars pay for these zoos to lie to our kids. Let's be blunt. You read the signage, you're like, oh, hold up, don't read that. Let's keep going. Because they're teaching them there is no God, naturalistic processes, millions of years. No, I don't run from that stuff. This is what the world says. This is what the Word of God says. This is what we actually see. Fascinating Facts is all that really cool information about animals that you can use to lead a tour through the zoo and teach your child how to use the zoo as a ministry opportunity. Page 10 has a QR code, thank you. QR code that when you scan it, it's a 36-page lesson plan. So parent, you're homeschooling, here's a science curriculum for you. 36 pages lesson plan that you can use with that book to teach the design features on animals. And then use the app. And when you scroll down, you'll see Just for Kids. Hit Just for Kids. Fast Facts. That's a one-month devotional for parents to do with their kids. Free. 90-second video. Questions based on the video. Answers in there. And a coloring sheet that you can print out in your children if they're ADD like me and got to do something with their hand when you're talking to them. It's all in there. Tools. Put them together. Use them. The curriculum is 8 of the most asked questions. How do we deal with them? And it's a curriculum, a full-blown curriculum, a homeschool version and a regular version. So it's all suggested donation. If you can help me, help you. Help me if you can't. That's okay. If you'll use it, take it and put it to use. But the claim is there is no truth. I mean, that is shabam. That is the big kahuna. Not Shazam. That's different, you know. That is the big kahuna. That is the spicy enchilada. Did you guys catch the W-Dubs thing, the Willy Wonka, catch that? Anybody know who Willy Wonka is? Still there? Okay. That is the question of the ages. What is truth? Well, I'm a big one for using definitions for words, right? Words have meaning. But there's a problem with that, you know. Let me give you another free tool while you've got your smartphone handy. When you go to the App Store, type in 1828, the date, 1828. 1828 dictionary, right? There's going to be a bunch of versions. There will be some paid versions. Don't pay for it. There's a free version. It might not look as pretty, but it still works. Put that 1828 dictionary on your phone, and then when you run into issues about what is science, type in the word science in an 1828 dictionary. Type in the word science in a modern-day dictionary, and you will understand why the world says Christians and creationists can't do science. They've redefined the term. How can men get pregnant? They have redefined the term. Look up the word man in an 1828 dictionary. Look up the word man in a modern dictionary. Look up the term woman. If you want to understand how we get the craziness that we have going on in our culture, look at the words. Whoever controls the words and the definitions are going to have a lot of impact. What is a definition for truth? Well, let's take a look at the dictionary, and it says this: being in accord with fact or reality, or fidelity to an original or a standard. So I really like that definition. So if you want to know if something is true or not, you need what is called a standard referent. Now, if you're anything like me, the first time I read this, I was like, what's a standard referent? I have never heard that term before. I found a definition for a standard referent. In physical science, a common or standard referent is needed to begin the study of the physical universe. And I'm going to say to you, it's the same thing with the spiritual and the moral. If you want to know if something is true or not, you need something by which to judge what is being said to see if it measures up. This issue of truth is under attack. Let me show you. We do one of the clubs that we've started to start training younger generation. They're called Mic'd Up Clubs, where we take 2 to 3 questions a month. We create a whole how to study these things, how to have an answer to it. We send it out to whoever the club wants to be. And then these guys go out on the street and they engage people in just conversations, not arguing, not fighting, not being belligerent or mean. You'll be shocked at what you see in the culture. Let me show you one of the young ladies down in Florida who was out just asking, what's truth? Take a look. Oops, I got to hit it one more time, sorry.
What do you think truth is?
I don't know, honestly.
You don't know?
No.
What does the word truth mean to you?
Something, I mean, it has its variations. Truth can be something that, like you're okay with. Like if I tell you that color is red, I'm okay with that and I believe in it.
We all agree.
Yeah, something that we can all agree on.
Something that we all agree on.
And they give you, sense of relief.
So if truth is something that we can all agree on, is there truth? Because I'm telling you right now, in this room tonight, there is probably not one thing that all of us would agree on. Well, maybe one. You know, there is a God. Okay, don't go any further than that. There's a God. Is it a big G or a little G? No. Don't go any further than that, right? Guys, is that what truth is? If it is, we're in trouble. I found a skit that, to me, illustrated it very well, so I use it with the younger generation. I'll share it with you this evening because I think it makes the points very well. Please bear with me.
This is a red balloon. It's true, it's red, we all know our colors. The absolute truth is that this balloon is red.
No, it's not. That's green.
What?
This right here is a green balloon.
That is the prettiest yellow balloon.
Yellow? This is red. Yeah, come over here.
No, it's green.
It's red!
Yeah, I know, it's a red balloon.
Hey, will you look at it from my point of view, please?
What?
Hey, nice blue balloon.
It's
blue.
Green!
Green? It's red!
Why are you saying it's red when it's blue, huh?
It's totally purple from here!
Purple? Okay, you know what? Let's just settle this once and for all, okay?
Where are you going?
Hey, what color is this balloon?
I only see in black and white.
Okay. Hey, Mark, what color...
There is no balloon.
This is ridiculous!
Hey, I know what the problem is. Look, my mom taught me that this was blue. But, you know, then she said this is red and green, yellow, you know, and on and on.
Okay, I get that your mom taught you that that was blue, but, I mean, that's not the truth.
Whoa, why are you talking bad about his mom?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Listen, I respect your mother.
Thank you.
And the way she raised you. She taught you that it was blue. Our moms taught us that it was red. Right. That's the way it goes.
I thought you said it was green.
It is green. See, I'm smart. I went to college. And in college, I learned all these different theories about color.
Really?
And my color professors, who have doctorates in color... Do you have a doctorate in color?
No.
It shows. Okay? They can't even agree on one theory of color, so you have to look at all the different theories and pick which one works best for you. And green is great for me.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
No, you can't just pick whatever color fits your life the best. Red is red.
Okay, do you know the word intolerant?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being right now. All right, you're shoving your opinion down my throat.
Okay, it's not my opinion, it's the truth.
Hold on. All we're saying is that we need to stop arguing about trivial things. Like truth.
You know, the funny thing about truth is, it's true, whether you believe it or not.
does that just about nail what we're running into in this culture today? And that's where the battle is. So, truth. Is it important to have a standard referent? And I'm going to tell you that it is. Take a look at this. If a youth do not accept an objective standard of truth, guess what? Here's what we see, that they're 36% more likely to lie to a parent, 48% more likely to cheat on an exam, 2 times more likely to try to physically hurt someone, 3 times more likely to use illegal drugs, and 6 times more likely to attempt suicide. So can I put it to you in one word? Is it important that we have absolute truth? Yes. Without it, we're in trouble. And so, guys, we need to address the issue, and we need to challenge people to think about it very seriously. Because if there is a God that created the way that he said that he did, if that is true, does that have an impact on our lives? If there is no God, and everything got here by millions of years, random chance processes, does that have an impact on our lives? Yes, it does. Let me show you this, how the universe works. Not a Christian program, it's a secular program. And let's take a listen, because I don't think people have ever really thought this through, especially 50 to 88% of the younger generation who walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ, who are raised in the church. 50 to 88% of the kids raised in the church walking away by the time they're age 18. What are they going to? They don't have a clue, and they typically don't have a clue what they're walking away from. Let me show you what they're going to. We have the astronomer, Michelle Thaler, explaining to us the implications of there is no God and naturalistic processes is how we got here. Please listen carefully.
And 4.6 billion years ago, one particular cloud begins to collapse under its own gravity, and our sun ignites. Much of the ancient stardust is sucked into the sun, never to be seen again. But the leftovers clump together to form comets, asteroids, planets, and eventually, life.
I actually think of myself as a very complicated rock. I am made of things like iron and copper and manganese. When you sit down on a mountainside and you're there with a rock, those are your cousins too.
Are there implications to believing that there is no God and everything got here through naturalistic processes? Yes. We got a bunch of rockheads. That's it. I mean, come on. Guys, you got to understand that if you're going to walk away from God, this is what you're walking to. And that's why we need to teach a generation to critically evaluate what's being thrown at them. I told the kids today in this school, do not believe me. Any of the youth here today that were in the school today? Anybody? None? I told them, do not believe me. I want you to challenge me. I want you to just totally go check everything that I'm saying to see if it bears out. Because if you don't do that, then you don't own it. If you take what I'm saying and don't critically evaluate it and you just regurgitate it, regurgitation isn't pretty, it doesn't smell good, and it shouldn't be the way that we educate. We need to teach critical application, critical thinking. Here's my illustration on truth. How tall am I? Very simple question. How tall am I? What was that? 6'3". Nope, I'm actually much taller. Anybody? Anybody? 6'3 and a half, much taller. 6'3, 6'3, come on, a half an inch, that's not much taller. I'm much taller. Oh, yes, ma'am. 6'4, much taller. I can prove to you that I am actually 11 foot tall. Thank you. You don't believe me. When I stand next to a basketball hoop, guess what? Yeah. You don't believe my picture. Okay, how about this? Let me bring out real evidence then. Here's my ruler. And when I measure myself, guess how tall I am? 11 foot tall. What's wrong with that? It's interaction time, okay? This is not Sunday, so you can actually interact, okay? I know on Sunday you have to sit and stare, but not today, okay? What's wrong with that? It's not true. What do you mean it's not true? My ruler what? This is not a real foot? Is that what you guys are saying? It's absolutely. I need a volunteer. Give me a young volunteer. Come on up. All right, come on up. All right, I want you to verify for this audience, please. Tell everybody your name, please.
Rebecca.
Miss Rebecca, are all 12 inches on my ruler?
No.
What? What's that say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, right?
Yeah, yeah, but it's not an inch. But
hold up. Are all 12 inches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 12, are they all on there?
The number 12 is on
there. Yes, it is. It's on there. And look at this. Do you see that right there? That is a seal of approval. Do you see that? Can you see that? Is that a real seal?
No.
That's a real seal. Look at that. So, I need you to measure me. All right? We have to verify that I'm actually 11 foot tall. So, please, count along with her. You ready? 1, 2... You can step up on the step. I'm 11 foot tall, correct?
Wrong.
Why am I wrong? You just measured me. You just used my ruler. All 12 inches are on there. The official seal of approval is on there.
That each one is not a whole inch.
You close-minded, intolerant, bigoted, opinionated hick. You are trying to tell me that my ruler is no good. What makes you tell me my ruler is no good? Are you trying to tell me that I need to use this ruler? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's an actual ruler. That's a half a ruler.
How do you know that?
Because.
Because you were taught it?
Well, that's an inch. That's not.
Those are 12? Those are 12.
But they're different sizes. So
yeah, they're different sizes. This one's wrong. That one's right. Thank you, Rebecca. I'm just messing with you, okay? She did good, right? Isn't this what we're running to in the world? Everybody's got their own ruler. What makes this ruler right? I've already given you a hint. What makes this ruler right? What's that? It's a different standard. But why is it right? Because you believe it, you were taught it, you were trained it. What makes this ruler right? You need a standard referent, right? How do we know that the ruler is correct? It's not that complex, quite frankly. So you know what we do? It's a very simple thing. We know what our definition for truth is. Truth is that which has fidelity to an original. So we need to find an original. Can we do that? Yes, we can. We get on an airplane. We fly to Paris. Outside of Paris, you got to sing along.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
I know it's Italian, but I like the song. So, yeah. Anyway, we go to Paris, and outside of Paris, there's the official museum of all the weights and measures. They have the official liter, the official meter, the official foot. And when we compare our ruler to the standard referent, which one measures up? Not because you were trained it, not because you were taught it, not because you believe it, because when it was compared to the standard referent and measured up, because I'm going to put it to you like this. You could be raised in a culture, and this is what's going on in our country right now, and they can tell you from the point of conception that this is a foot. Be totally sincere and be totally wrong. And this generation is being taught when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to you name it. Guys, this is a big deal. You don't want to go to Paris? Don't blame you. Come with me to Hagerstown, Maryland, and they have what I call, can I hear you go like, ooh, you're impressed. They have the golden ruler. Yes, ooh. Guys, you think I'm joking? I wrote these guys and said, how can I tell that the foot that I bought, is it a real foot? It's correct. How can I know that? Dude wrote me a 3-page response. He was so happy somebody cared. It's like, somebody cares. I got a 3-page response. I'm breaking it down tight for you, okay? They have the standard referent. We take our two rulers, we compare the rulers, and guess what? Mine doesn't measure up. Doesn't matter how much I want it. By the way, it doesn't matter what I think about it, because if you think democracy can vote on what is true, hello? I'm going to go to all the carpet layers that get paid by the foot. I'm going to go to all the carpenters that get paid by the foot. Which ruler are they going to vote for? If truth is determined by a vote, hello? we're in trouble. No, truth is that which has fidelity to an original. Now, Christian, here's my point to you. What's your standard referent? And if it is not the Word of God, we have nothing. That is the only thing that can break down all the barriers that we have in our culture today. It's the only thing. All the division because of skin tones, eye shapes, hair texture. That's the only thing that can break that down. Is that there is a God that did what he said that he did. You lose that standard referent, it's going to get even worse, guys. By the way, I want you to see how pervasive this teaching is, all right? I'm going to give you some statements here, and I want you to tell me via a hand raise. Everybody raise your right hand. That's pretty good. Most of you got that right. Everybody raise your left hand. Not bad. I now know you can participate in my little survey, okay? So when I ask questions, you need to participate. Here we go. Is this statement a fact or is this statement an opinion? Copy and homework assignments is wrong. Who says it's a fact that it's wrong to cheat? Who says it's an opinion to cheat? Okay, how about this one? Cursing in school is inappropriate behavior. Fact, opinion. How about this one? All men are created equal. Fact, opinion. Every one of those statements right there are classified as an opinion in the Common Core. Those are all illustrations on a test paper that they give you to try to understand what's going on. You wonder why there's such a disconnect with this younger generation, why they're just, how do you even talk to them? They're so different. Yes, they are. Because they are being taught a completely and totally different standard referent. You see, the vast majority of you, you said that it's a fact to cheat, that it's a fact to curse, that it's wrong. You said that, why? Because of your worldview. Because for the most part in here, most of you are probably a Christian. And what does the scripture say about cheating? It's wrong. What does it say about cursing? It's wrong. What does it say about we're all created equal, that we are? You lose that standard referent, you will not keep those beliefs. You see, John 14:6 tells us, and it's so clear, that Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's either true or it's not. Now, we live in a world that's going to tell you and I, big time, that, Carl, all religions are the same. I mean, come on, they're all leading us to the same place. It's just different paths up a mountain to get to the top. Well, let's take a listen to some of these things. No statement could be more wrong. But how about this one? A Thai Buddhist monk. All religions are like different cars, all moving in the same direction. People who don't see it have no light in their hearts. By the way, younger generation, especially, hear me on this. One of the tools that's going to be used against you to get you to be quiet is going to be, you're the weirdo. You're the strange one. You can't see this, so you're the weird one. You're the outsider. It's used very well, quite frankly. 50 to 88% of the kids gone by the time they're age 18. If you can't see it, you don't have any light in your hearts, hold up. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I'm not going to believe you just because you're going to try and make me feel bad. How about this? Oh, Tibet Buddhism. All religions are the same. There is no conflict. This is something we must emphasize. We must consider the question of religious diversity from this viewpoint. And when we do, we find no conflict. Why must I consider this question from his viewpoint if his viewpoint is wrong? How about this one? Love this one. Hindu spiritual teacher. All religions are one. They teach a divine life. I respect saints and prophets of all religions. I respect all religions, all cults, all faiths, and all creeds. I serve all, love all, mix with all, and see the Lord in all. So he loves everything except that poor Bengal tiger that he's sitting on top of that he had to kill to get the skin, right? And that's love. We just accept. You know what true love is? Some of you may not like me on this, but I got to be honest with you. True love is not willing to walk up to somebody who's doing something, living a lifestyle that is going to separate them for all eternity from a heavenly God who loves them enough to die for them, and we pat them on the back and say, it's okay, God understands. No, he doesn't. There's a justice side to our God. True love is willing to walk up to somebody and say, look what you're doing. I love you enough to tell you that what you are doing is going to have consequences. This isn't because I hate you. It's not because I'm better than you. I care, genuinely care. True hate is patting somebody on the back and letting them do something that is going to end up in a terrible place. We have to be willing to speak the truth in love. How about this? How about this? All religions are the same? Let's deal with it. By the way, I'm not going to show this debunked to you. Download the app. Watch it. It's really good because it will give you some real solid tools. Got to skip some stuff for time. On differentiating between religions. They are not even close to being the same. But let me put it like this. They're similar. They all believe in God. It's all telling us how to get there. So they're similar. Okay. You didn't know this, but this evening when we're done here, we're going to have some food in the back there. And on the table are going to be these six containers with a white crystalline substance. You are going to have to. There is no choice. You have to choose one of these white crystalline substances. They all look alike. And you're going to have to put it on your food before you eat it. You with me? You understand? You have no choice. You must do this. I identify as God. You must do this. Okay? How many of you in here, just play along, choose number one, substance number one? Anybody? 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 One, two, you're dead. Yeah, because if you eat arsenic, you're dead. But it's a white crystalline substance. It looks like the rest. Number two, anybody? Anybody? Choose a second option. Okay, one, two. You're already dead. You chose number one. You can't die twice, okay? Okay, there you go. Good. Two more people dead. Oh, we are solving the population problem tonight. Number three. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, hey, now people are jumping up froggy because it's like, hey, the odds are getting better. You're dead. How about number four? Number four. Anybody? Anybody? Number four? Okay, okay. You're dead. Yeah. 50-50 chance. Let's skip number five. Number six. Who says number six? Come on. Be bold. Be brave. You're dead. Yeah. Every one of them are white crystalline substances, and five of the six will kill you. I don't care what they look like. That's not the issue. It's the differences that are so different that are going to lead to places that you don't want to be. I put it like this. All these other supposed gods that are in the world today, younger generation, you will get this. They are Hulk gods. Hello, Avengers fans? Anybody? Avengers? You're killing me, man. There's like only three people that are Avengers fans. What's wrong with you guys? All right. Well, let me show you what an Avenger God is. The three that you're with me. But the rest of you, you need educating. This is a Hulk God.
Enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature. And I will not be bullied by that.
Wait for it.
Puny god.
Wait for it, wait for it. Listen to the wheezing. Huh? Huh? Come on. Any converts? You know what I'm... Disclosure, I am not advocating violence. No actors were hurt in the filming of this scene. It's not real. You can't believe in how much trouble I've gotten over that clip. Oh, you're advocating violence. No, I'm not. It's the Avengers. Come on. It's not real. It's a comic book. Look, that's a Hulk god, though. It's a puny god. When you compare any of these other gods to the God of the Bible, they are puny. For you more erudite individuals, let's go to an illustration from... Yes, here we go. Carl, now we're with you because we're smart. We're intelligent. Okay. Milkman Tevye. What can we learn from Milkman Tevye? This is good.
He's right and he's right. They can't both be right.
He's right. They're all three right? Look, they can all three be wrong, but they can't all three be right. And this is where we got to come down to. You see, all religions are the same? Absolutely not. By the way, you didn't know this, but tomorrow morning, tonight, it's after we finish. That's right, I already got the buses are coming. You didn't know this, we're going on a road trip. We're going to Chicago, downtown Chicago. We'll be there in the morning so that we can do some street evangelism. I have our signs all made up. Let me show you our signs. Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. Aren't you excited to go do street evangelism downtown Chicago with our signs? What do you think? What kind of a response do you think we will receive to our message of speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have? What do you think? Good? Yeah. Good stuff, man. Yeah, speak your truth. Oh, but I'm sorry, I didn't show you the complete sign. Let me show you the complete sign that we will be using in ministry downtown Chicago. You ready for this? Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. What kind of a response do you think we're going to get now? Anybody with me? You're like, we are not getting within 50 miles of that place, bro. You're sick. This is what I do to the young people. Why? Initially, hey, we like that message, but now we don't like it. Why? How did the message change? The message did not change. The messenger changed. And here's a problem that we have in our culture. Way too many people are looking at the messenger and not the message. Why would they not like it? Oh, we don't like him. I did this. I had a group of young people, and I had two young ladies sitting right there. They were like, no, no, we're not doing it. Huh. What do you mean, huh? We're not doing it. What do you mean we're not doing it? We don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? You just told me you like the message. We don't like him. But hold up. He didn't say that. Let me introduce you to the person that did say it.
What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have.
What kind of a response do you think we're going to get now from our signage with Miss Oprah on there, downtown Chicago? You see, Christian, you got to understand something. We are easily manipulated. And this media, this culture knows how to manipulate. Satan knows how to take and make things that aren't right, make them look good. If this statement is true, if speaking your truth is the most powerful tool that we all have, and you got your truth and I got my truth, let me introduce you to some ladies that she's had on her show, Speaking Truth. And oh yes, Miss Louise, her truth is that the Holocaust, the people that died in the Holocaust, the 6+ million, only 6 million Jews, about 9 million total of other people, that were killed were because they were suffering for past lives. They were bad in a previous life, so they were suffering the consequences in this life. That's her truth. How about this? Oh, yes, Miss Tina. You want to be rich? All you got to do is think about money. Hello? There wouldn't be a poor person on this planet if that's all it took. The only person that made any money off of that is her, because she sold you a book. And Oprah sells a lot of books preaching that mess. I am not trying to denigrate Oprah Winfrey. She is a powerful communicator. Powerful. I watched this speech, and I want you to just see what's going on. They have standing ovation. People were in tears when she gave this. Please, watch this.
And I just hope that Recy Taylor died knowing that her truth, like the truth of so many other women who were tormented in those years, and even now tormented, goes marching on.
People were in tears, standing ovation. It was powerful. Who in here this evening can tell me who Recy Taylor was? Anybody? I didn't have a clue, and I was embarrassed by it. So I went and I did the research. Recy Taylor is a young lady who in 1944 was walking home from church. Six white men pulled her into a car, took her out into the countryside, and abused her. We don't need to go any deeper. You know what I'm saying. When they got done, they took her into town. They threw her out of the car and told her that if you tell anybody what happened to you, we will kill not only you, but we will kill your family. She wasn't quiet. She went to the police. They found out who the six men were. So what did the six men do? They each gave $100 and offered it to the husband to make it right. Hey, I can't use the word in our culture anymore. Ain't $600 enough for raping your wife? They knew exactly who did it. The police did nothing. She called in the ACLU. She had a representative in her house. They were talking about what they could do. And while they were talking, one of the men was driving up and down in front of her house to intimidate her to be silent. She wasn't silent. So eventually what happened is the sheriff busted into her house and told the ACLU rep that you better leave town because I don't want any troublemakers here in Abbeville. And if you don't go, I'll lock you up. Not one person ever suffered anything for what they had done. No charges, nothing. By the way, have you ever heard of Rosa Parks? Rosa Parks was the ACLU rep that was there. This is where her whole beginning of the social justice and racial racial justice, that's where it started. I knew nothing of Recy Taylor until I read this, and I'm like, wow. Now, here's my point. Please, please, stick with me. Listen to what she said. And I just hope that Recy Taylor died knowing that her truth, like the truth of so many other women who were tormented in those years and even now tormented, goes marching on. What is wrong with that statement? People were crying, yes. And I'm sitting here saying, that is so wrong. Why is it wrong, critical thinkers? What's wrong with it? Put it like this. If it is her truth that what happened to her was wrong, then those six dudes, and I don't care if they were purple, green, blue, yellow, those six guys that did what they did, they get their truth. And their truth was, hey, we gave her $100. What's wrong with that? You see, it's not her truth that what happened to what was wrong. It's the truth. And if we, I don't care what you look like on the outside, if we can't get to the point where there is absolutely things that are incorrect and wrong, this is the world that you're going to get. And by the way, America was a whole lot more quote-unquote Christian back then than we are today. You see, guys, it's the truth that what happened was wrong. So why does truth matter? Because if you don't have it, we're done. We're done. Look at where we are heading as a culture. And I don't like to be a negative downer guy. Because I told the young people today, look, guys, I wish I could be here like a rah-rah cheerleader. But I got to be honest with you. This is what God tells us. Before he comes again, it is going to be as it was in the days of Noah, and every thought was continually wicked. You think we're bad now? Oh, no. This is warm-ups, baby. It's going to get crazy. So we just give up and go and hide? No, we go down swinging. That's what we do. Look, we're called to be a light in the darkness, and the darker it gets, the brighter we should shine. It should be next to impossible for us to blend in between Monday to Saturday and come in here on Sunday and do our game. It should be next to impossible to blend in. We should stand out. We should shine. And that's what it's going to take, body of Christ. And I'm not talking about being the belligerent, ignorant jerk. No. Loving people enough to care. To speak the truth. Now, if you think it doesn't matter, let me give you a couple of examples. Elizabeth, homeschool young lady. I'm speaking in Glendive, Montana. Homeschooled young lady all the way up to college. She goes to college. She's a freshman in college, and she comes up to me, and she goes, she heard me speak in Glendive, and she goes, that is the first time I have ever heard anything on how to apply my faith in the real world. I'm a freshman in college, homeschooled, church my whole life, and they are chewing me up and spitting me out, and I have no clue how to use it. I just became quiet. Hello? That's the typical Christian youth response, hiding so that they don't get called out to be made fun of. You think truth mattered to her? She was so fired up. She went back to her school, and she's like on fire for the Lord. Michael came up to me, Boca Raton, Florida, youth group. I got done speaking, and I'm not trying to blow me up like I'm, this is just who I am, right? I get done speaking. There was a line from the stage here out the door through the gym of kids wanting to talk. The number three kid in line was a guy named Michael. Michael comes up and says, I go to Florida Atlantic University. Yes, I'll name names. And in my psychology class, day one, the professor hands out index cards. I'm like, cool, that's what I do on day one. I hand out index cards. What are the questions keeping you from selling out? No. Hands out index cards, tells us to write Jesus on it. Now stand up, put it on the ground, and step on it, because the rest of this class, we're going to destroy the greatest myth that's ever been perpetuated on this planet. Is your child ready for that? Is your grandchild ready for that? I'll tell you right now, the vast majority are not. In that same school, the English professor, this is what Michael tells me, that English professor, about a third of the way through the semester, walks around, folds his arms, sits on the front of his desk, says, "Everybody shut your book, we're just going to talk today. I'm rich, I don't need this job. I got a great house, I got money, got a great car. I'm here for one reason only, to destroy Christianity." You've got to understand, this culture has changed. When I was a kid, you could get through life with just, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian, because the culture around you, for the most part, would support the morals. That's gone. You now want to stand up on something, and you're going to be the guy that they're coming after. How about Molly? You think truth didn't matter to Molly? Molly heard me at a camp in just north of Cincinnati. She was a sophomore in high school. She came up to me at that camp and said, "Would you come speak at my high school?" She goes to a public school in Cincinnati. "Would you come speak at my high school?" I said, "Sure." 2 years. It took her 2 years to get me into that school. She finally did it. Friday night, they wouldn't let me speak during the day, during the school hours. Friday night, against a home basketball game, she filled 85 to 90% that auditorium. She filled it. I walk in, I say, "Molly, so what do you want me to talk about tonight?" And she looks at me like I'm stupid. She said, "I want you to preach a gospel." I said, "Molly, the last time I went to a public school and spoke, they pulled the fire alarm after 10 minutes. 10 minutes to get me out. I didn't even use the Bible. I didn't even talk about God. And they pulled the fire alarm after 10 minutes. Does your principal know that I'm going to preach a gospel?" "Yeah, and I want you to do an altar call." Guys, I went to her pastor, Scott Land. Pastor Scott Land, you can check me out. Cornerstone Church, east of Cincinnati. I went to him, I said, "Look, Molly wants me to do an altar call tonight, but I'm kind of a weird one when it comes to altar calls. I don't want to give this emotional manipulation thing, okay? Me, I'm here, I'm out. So it's a butterfly." I said, "If we're going to do an altar call, I want to ask you to do it because you live here, you're in this community, and these kids, if anybody makes a response, they need somebody that's here that can pour into them. Would you do it?" "Yes, okay. But now would you do a different style altar call? I don't want any bow your head, sneak your hand up. I'm not trying to attack anybody, guys. This is just my heart. Bow your head, sneak your hand up. Nobody's looking. It's okay. Nobody trying to embarrass you. Forget that. Look, if you're not willing to walk up here in front of people that are going to love on you, you think you're going to walk out there? This slipping the hand and sneaking stuff, that's done. Christian, we need to be bold." I said, "So I'd ask you to do that. And we're not playing music. We're not going to emotionally manipulate. Anybody dealing with you? Come on. Done." When he did this, I am just telling you guys, I get chills right now thinking about it. I walked out off the stage. The entire front of the stage was filled with kids on their face, on the floor, praying. I walked out the side door to walk up the hallway. The whole hallway in a public school filled with kids on their face, praying. You think truth didn't matter to Molly? One more example. Bethany. She was at the exact same camp in Cincinnati. She writes me a few months after the camp, and this is what she wrote, and I'll share it with you. "I attended a camp that you spoke at this past summer, and I am now a freshman at Auburn University. I'm planning to study in the field of science. I have always attended a Baptist church with my parents. I was raised in a Christian home up until 6 months ago. I would call myself a devout Christian. I was never taught about other religions aside from Christianity. I was just told they were wrong. That is one of the mistakes that we made, Christian. If you do not teach a generation how to think, how to apply their faith in a world gone crazy, and you just tell them they're all wrong and we're right, and you don't give them meat, you are not going to prepare them to deal with this culture. This culture knows how to destroy that faith." She continued, "As you said at camp, the church has given answers that don't hold any water in a debate. I knew my beliefs would be questioned when I came to college. I just wasn't expecting to not have reasonable answers. I am doubting my faith at this time. I can't answer the questions that are asked of me, at least not with answers that I actually believe. I can easily repeat what was told me, and that's my problem with regurgitation. If you don't own it," that's what I told these kids this morning, "if you have not studied, if you have not dug, if you have not challenged, why do I believe this? You do not own it." And this is what's going to happen to you. The professors and friends I have met have logical reasoning behind their beliefs. Oh, yeah, logical. You're sitting on a mountainside with the rocks, and those are our cousins, too. That's really logical. Whereas I lack any reasons I support. I found out within a matter of weeks that I was uneducated, ignorant, narrow-minded, and didn't stand a chance against the arguments and questions I was presented with. Now I am verging not only on seeing their side of the story, but believing it. This genuinely scares me, and it breaks my heart. I get this a lot, guys. I'm telling you, I spend minimum of 50 to 60% of my time in ministry with younger generation. Mature generation, sorry. Love you. You had your shot. I want your kids and your grandkids. That's who I'm wired to go after. I do not want to believe that I have no purpose, that a God doesn't exist, that everything I've been taught was a lie. Yet is this why religion exists, to appease our fears? If that's all we are given to a generation, you can understand why 50 to 88% of them that are raised in the church are gone. And that's not what we have. We have truth. Jesus is who he claimed to be. What you see in the world is consistent with it. So, you think truth didn't matter? What about for Jesus? Do you think truth mattered for him? He loved us so much that he went and died on a cross for us. While we were rejecting him, not a thing we can do to deserve that, and he would do that for us? Now, if you're a note taker, this is note taking time. Because I'm telling you the truth matters. And because it matters, then let me give you some tools. Because truth matters, here are some points that I give to you to take with you. Number one, you need to own it. If you don't own it, if you don't put work into it, if you don't study to show yourself approved, if you don't get in and dig and ask questions about why you believe what you say you believe, you're not going to hang on to it. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is going to take work. This is not something that you can pick up from osmosis because you sit in church every Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It doesn't happen like that. It's going to take work. That's reality. Number two, you need to search for it. If there's truth there, you got to search for it. I mean, look at 2 Timothy 2:15. What does God tell us in 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show yourself approved. This is going to take work. In Acts 17:11, to me, I want you to think about this for a second. Acts 17:11, Paul, superstar apostle of the day, dude writes half the New Testament. He goes and he's speaking to the Bereans, who aren't even Christian. He's speaking to them, and what are the Bereans doing? They're taking what he's saying, and they're examining it against what? The standard referent. And how are they doing it? Daily. Hello? I'm not attacking you. Carl, are you in the word daily? If you're going to stand up here and preach and throw all these stones at everybody, are you doing this? It's the way I think. I have to challenge myself. You examine the standard referent and daily. And number three, you critically evaluate the evidence. I think critical thinking is absolutely vital in the church today. I do not want a generation just to take what they hear from me or anybody else and sign, this is it, this is the truth. No, you go dig, you go look, you study, you have that behind you. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And I think that when we do these points, that we do it the way that God has commanded us to do it. Because look, it's kind of bad in our world today. One of the number one attacks against Christianity, many times, rightfully so, is hypocrisy. We're saying one thing, we're living another, and people see that. So make sure we do it God's way. Ephesians 4:15, we speak the truth in love. We care enough to do that. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation, and by the way, in that 1828 dictionary, I want you to do this. This is a homework assignment for you. I won't be able to grade it, but you need to do this. Look up the word conversation in an 1828 dictionary. Conversation is not just the words coming out of our mouth. Read the definition for conversation in an 1828 dictionary. It is mind-opening what is being communicated here. Let your conversation, read that definition. It'll make a whole lot more sense. Be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I am come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 16:13. And guys, stand fast in the faith. You can do it. Not in your own strength, but with God, you can do it. Yes, everybody lies because we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is still in the business of transforming lives. That's the hope that we have. One last question. How tall am I? 6'3". What standard are you going to use? That is the issue. Heavenly Father, I give that to you and ask you that you would do something with it that I can't begin to understand. I thank you for this church that allows me to be here, that allows the apologetic form to be here, to have the opportunities to share with their flock. God, use us. Don't let us get into a rut and start taking our faith for granted. Don't let us get to the point where our faith is about Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday, we become invisible. You've called us to shine. So I am praying that you would light the wick in our lives, that we would shine brighter and bolder than ever before. There's a generation out here that needs to know the truth, and we have it. So help us, equip us, encourage us, challenge us to be about your business. And I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.